We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday.
Trill!
And the opening day of the 2025 Atlanta Falcons training camp. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you? From Flowery Branch.
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. It is finally here. We are out here at Flowery Branch, like you said. And if anything tells you about how the parking lot is, it is thick out here today.
I've never parked further away at any of the training camps that we've ever covered.
And you know, the nice family right here, they were already booked. You know, I tried to pay more.
Sure.
I was like, I'll tell you what, I'll double it.
Double it. Just give me a spot.
I'll double it. Just let me park right here. But luckily, somebody was coming out as soon as I was going down.
So, oh, good.
So, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, but, man, yeah, it's an exciting time.
I parked at the high school, like on the far side of the high school, on the Hog Mountain Road side of the high school.
Bam.
Thank God the shuttle came, right when I got out of my car.
Yeah.
It was a mile from here. We've been coming here every single year.
Exactly.
And I know there was no fans last year, so last year's a hard comparison.
Right. We're going to have to do something about this seating adjustment real quick. We're going to have to do something about this seating adjustment because I ain't come to sweat at training camp, so we got to kind of finagle with this tent.
Oh, you're in the sun.
Yeah, I'm in the sun. You know, I don't do sun. You know what I mean? I do something with tents, but then think about it is I'm under a tent.
Look,
okay, look at Mike Conti right
here.
That's my guy right there.
That's
Mike Conti's going to protect me from the sun. But, yeah, man, it's an exciting time to be here. As we know, you know, it's the expectations are what they are this year. But just to have the guys back out here, I think the biggest thing that, you know, that I always try to keep in perspective is, as I said on Monday, should with this team. They should be good. They should be this. And I know there's, you know, a lot of expectations, but you know, there's a lot of pressure on this team, this squad, this front office to be able to get it done this year.
I think that's 100% fair and 100% accurate. And one of those guys, Raheem Morris, is going to join us any minute. When practice is over, he's going to head on over here and hang out with us and sit down with us and talk on the first day of camp. And yeah, I mean, look, that's sort of I don't know. Is it the safe way to play it? Is it the smart way to play it?
Yeah.
However you want to put it, it's fair because we've sat out here the last couple of years that talked about hope or expectation,
right,
or pressure, or whatever it is. And unfortunately, the result in terms of playoff appearance has been the same.
Yep.
The result has been the same each of the last 7 years. Now, each of those years has been different, and I think last year was probably its own unique brand of frustrating.
Right.
Probably the most frustrating year that we've had covering this team last year, just sort of given the expectation and then the way that it started and then the way that it went and why it went the way that it went and then the offseason being what it was. So, yeah, I mean, that's all part of it. That all plays into what this year is and what today signifies with training camp getting underway and all that stuff. So, you know, every single year has its own context and layers and all that.
Yeah.
This one might have the most that we've had thus far as Coach walks up to the tent and says what's up to us.
Yeah.
How you doing, Coach? Good to see you. Good to see you. Happy first day of school. Coach Raheem Morris joins us here on our in our broadcast tent from the first day of Falcons training camp. Coach, good to see you. How are you?
No. Am I on?
Yeah, we got you. We got you. We got you.
What's up, fellas?
How you doing, Coach?
I mean, I cannot complain, Randy. First day of school, we got the fans back, which is crazy, which is important. You know, last year it was a lonely camp out here by itself, but like to get the guys back, get the excitement out, the energy, get you guys back out here in the broadcast, you know, it is absolutely outstanding. I got Andy back over here. We're ready to go, man.
Ready to go. Happy to be here. Happy that all the fans are here too. I probably ask you this every year, but every year is a little bit different. Does the first day of camp change, the feeling around the first day of camp change as you progress in your career?
No, man. It's hard to say it changes. You know, this is always a really good time of the year. It's always a really good time to get your team back out there and let those guys get ready to go. And then when they get out in practice, you see them moving around fast, see them move around quickly, be able to get back, make some corrections, get all the stuff you want to get done, and make sure you can throw a great camp, man. It always feels the same, that same energy, the same juice, that same sense of urgency for the guys that are ready to go out there and play.
What was the message to your team last night? Because usually you have a meeting for the first day of camp, that night meeting, when get everybody in and all those things. What was that meeting like?
As you know, Randy, last night is the meeting that the players don't necessarily love.
Yes.
Right? It's the, It's the one you go through all of the stuff you got to go through as far as, you know, the docs, your equipment, your coaches, your everything, the quick install so we can get ready to go out there in the grass the next day and to be able to do those things. But realistically for us, it was about us, how are we going to move and, like, doing things what we want to do and not necessarily have to tell anybody about it, right? Let's be able to go out here and be able to get our guys going. Let's go out here. Let's execute. Let's be the best versions of ourselves so we can attack this season.
Falcons head coach Raheem Morris joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, live from Flowery Branch, first day of training camp. We're going to talk to a bunch of your players throughout the course of camp. We're probably going to ask each of them, what did you do this offseason to try to improve, to try to make sure this season's your best and all that? What does a coach do in an offseason to try to get better from where he was to where he's trying to go to?
You always start with self-evaluation. You always start with, you know, looking at some other people, what they did really well, go steal some really good ideas. There's a lot of really great coaches in this league. There's a lot of great players in this league. And you can go study just about anything you want. You know, obviously, there's always great room for self-improvement. You know, whatever you do for your health, for your body, for your mind, for your mental state, for all the things that's really important to what we do as an athlete, what we do as coaches, and what we do as an organization, I think is some of the most important things you do. I happen to have some of the great leadership that I have. When you're talking about Arthur Blank, being a lean on his experience, being a lean on Terry's experience, Ryan Pace, Kyle Smith, all of those guys' experiences you can lean on, different things, different aspects of life, different walks and ways to do about your business. I just think always things that you can really help and be helpful for. And you take your time as you go through the offseason, you just go through those things and you go through that checklist every year to make sure you can come back a better version of yourself.
You have a young quarterback. We saw him play the last three games and obviously comes into this offseason number one guy. What do you hope you learn from him this summer? Because obviously it's his job and he is the leader of this football team, but what do you need to see from him day by day as we get ready for the season?
He's really started it already. You know, it's just the leadership and the ownership of the offense and getting these guys out there and getting together and his voice becoming bigger, right? His voice is becoming bigger every time he steps in that huddle. His voice gets bigger every time he makes a correction to a wide out, a running back, the O-line, a protection, whatever it is. Every time he talks to Zach, every time he talks to me, every time he communicates situational ball, like we're able to display there at the end of practice in the Mamba period. You know, you just love the fact of watching him grow and develop. And still, every single time, you're so impressed with the poise of the young man. That's just outstanding.
What do you think fans are going to see from him, Penix specifically, that they got the three-game sample set, you got a chance to see him a little bit, but still pretty unfamiliar with what he is? What do you think fans are going to see from him that they don't know yet?
I think, Andy, these guys got a chance to see it today. They got a chance to see him unleash a big arm and throwing it downfield and really stretching the field. You know, you're talking about a guy that can throw every level of the field, every layer of the field, and being able to get that up. You know, but the important part for him is focus on his completion percentage to make sure we can make the layups, to make sure we can keep the drives going and go down the field. But as you know, man, he can unlock it. He can uncoil. And when he has the ability to do that, we got to be able to come down with some of them big shots down the field.
I want to talk about your defense because the Stallworth is gone. It's been here forever. A lot of new guys, a lot of names that nobody knows yet. Can you tell us a little bit more about the D-line? Well, obviously, Anyamata was here a couple years, but all the other guys seem to be a little bit unknown.
You know, we're talking about some of the unknowns, but you got to talk about some of the knowns first. The Jesse Bates of the world, like a consummate leader in this league, a consummate leader on our team, a pro, all-time, one of those guys that just makes plays no matter what. And then a guy that's really grown up here in A.J. Terrell and the leadership that he brings, the presence, all the stuff that he has. And then you got to go to Caden Ellis, the steady improvement throughout his career, starting as a part-time player, really getting here and flourishing as a linebacker. Last year, flourishing as a pass rusher and a rush guy for us and having the ability to do some of those things. And then you throw in a bunch of young guys, right? And now you add that second-year class, that first-year class, and it's exciting. Get a chance to see Brandon Trice today and Rook really get out there and go out there and Dorless and some of those guys kind of add to the party before we even mention the Georgia Bulldog and Jalen, and you're talking about Pierce, and then you're talking about some of the guys that we added in the secondary with Watts. Like, it is an exciting thing on defense. Talking about young, fast, hungry, which I've been around before and had a lot of success with, and I am really excited to see what Jeff Olbrich, our defensive staff, can actually pull out and go out there and do some really good things with them.
How many rookies do you, like, legitimately expect to be contributors on defense this year?
I would say all the guys we drafted, for sure. You know, and there's always some guys that can definitely come out there and shock you. You know, Billy Bowman, and when you're talking about White, talking about some of the productive, like, whatever you want to call them, secondary players, what you're talking about, stars, what you're talking about, you know, in the back end at the safety position, those guys have been big-time contributors in college football and getting the ball back. And that's something that we got to improve in our defense as well as our pass rush. I hope we address that within the first two rounds. And as Steven started last year, we were talking about the guys we just mentioned, and the Trice and the Rooks and the Dorothy.
Right.
Like, those are the things that you want to get going. You know, obviously adding a veteran like Flo, really helps you with some of that presence that you lost from a guy like Grady, a guy that's been able to go out here, another Georgia Bulldog, a guy that's been able to get up, have a lot of production in this league, won a Super Bowl with this young man. He comes in here, he brings a certain tempo to practice, he brings a certain tempo to the game, he brings a different edge. I think all of those things are really important when you talk about bonding these guys together on defense.
I saw a couple of guys just starting a PP, middle linebacker Trey Anderson. Is it just precautionary? Is something you're going to like put him in like slowly as the camp goes along?
Yeah, Troy's kind of one of those guys who kind of knew where we're going to be. We're going to start off on the pup list and get him going. But he is absolutely on schedule and he's ready to go. And you got to get out that heat.
I know, man. I'm in training camp. I did my time in the Sunday training camp.
We got to move your tent back.
No, when you leave, I'm sitting over there.
Sorry, but Troy, he's right on schedule. You know, starting him on pup, seeing where that goes, let that play out the situation. You know, but we got some guys back there right now in that linebacker room. You know, JD, we got a taste of last year. He gave us some real production when he got a chance to go out there and play. You know, getting him back healthy is a big critical part for us. Going out and get Diablo, who's been really impressive in training camp and the offseason program and the things that we did there. And then obviously we mentioned Caden Ellis before.
Maybe this is a two-parter just with how Kyle's doing now and that being what leads to the answer to the question, but what's the key to Kyle Pitts being his most productive self?
I think it's just us putting our best efforts together. When I say us, it's about us, it's about Kyle, and it's about really an organizational approach to try to get the best version of Kyle, right? And then we're trying to do that right now. I think I love his attitude. I love how he's come back. I mean, you got to be honest, man. Let's sit here and be one, right? It's tough. You're going through trade rumors. You're going through the production fight and trying to get it back from what you did as a freshman or rookie, excuse me. You're trying to move to that needle again, right? Like, we see it. He has the talent. He has the explosion. He has the it factor. We got to mentally get it all together and bring that to the field. And hopefully this is the year that we can unlock it. And what a year would it be for him to unlock that?
How do you get the best out of Bijan by not just putting all it on right now? Because, you know, he's a bell cow. I remember we had John a couple years last year. You were talking about how sometimes you got to slow him down. How do you get – because he knows how to get – he's a professional, Rob. But, like, taking some reps off of him so he can be as fresh as possible.
You know, we were talking about this the other day and we were joking about it. But Ty Lajeer allows you to do that, right? Ty Lajeer allows you to unlock a different force to your offense. It allows you to take a little bit off of Bijan. You can play those guys together. You know, I can't think of two better friends in our football team than that room and that team and those guys and, like, what they do together. So, like, using those two guys and being able to utilize guys sometimes together, sometimes opposite, sometimes playing off each other, sometimes situationally, I think is, like, a big key for us and a big advantage for us to be able to go out there and get it done. You know, Bijan is extremely special. Like, you know, he takes off load off the receivers because of what he can do out the backfield. He takes loads off the running backs, so what he do in the backfield. And then the biggest shock that me keeping coming here was his protection. Like,
yes.
No idea, no clue that he was able to stick his face on people and be able to put people down the way he is in the protection game, and that is a really important thing and a really important trait.
Falcons head coach Raheem Morris joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. First day of training camp, live from Flowery Branch. How should we think about or analyze Kirk Cousins' role? Obviously, he's the backup quarterback. Is it as simple as he's what Penix was last year, or is it more complicated than that?
You know, it's different. You know, you got a guy that's played a lot of football in this league, a guy that's going to sit there and be a consummate pro. And I think it's a little bit bigger outside our building than it is inside the building. You know, when you're talking about inside the building, you're talking about a guy's going to come to work. He's going to do exactly what he's going to do. He's going to be prepared. He's going to practice the right way, do all the right things, right? Outside of the building, because a little bit more noise because of how the situation had panned out, right? He was an expected starter, a guy that can come in and play. It didn't play out that way, right? You got to play the best player on the football field at all times, and that's what we're doing. Right now, Michael's the hot man. Right now, Michael's the guy. Right now, he's doing what he's supposed to do, and he's taking over as our number one. And we drafted him to be that. And I'm really excited about our guy. I'm really excited about what he can do and who he is as a player.
Every year, Rob, there's somebody who surprised you. And usually, I know in my time, there's always that unrestricted free agent.
Sure.
Now, they've been here this spring and everything, going through all the off-season conditioning. Do you kind of have a sink like this guy right here? I know we didn't draft him. He was undrafted. But he might be able to have an opportunity to be on the 53.
Coaches are always worried to talk about that.
Yeah.
Particularly at this time of the year, right? You know, but there's a couple, right? We had a real niche in the offseason after the draft. We wanted to go and attack some people and get some really good players and some really good players to come join this football team. That hints going to go out and get a guy like Kobe Bryant, what we thought would be drafted, going to get a Verdon, who we thought would be drafted from Iowa State, going out there getting a Nash, who was the Biletnikoff winner and led the league in receiving. So, like, I want to let these guys go out there and play it out, but it's an exciting young undrafted free agents along with this rookie class that really – fires you up, and like to add it to some of these guys and add them to those rooms to see if they can develop their roles and find their way. It just fires you up as a coach, fires you up as a fan base, and everything else.
We appreciate the time, Coach.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Great stuff as always.
Hey, you get your butt over here. We'll get him over here sweating, man.
We'll get him in the shade.
You know, we got to move his seat.
Yeah. We're fast in a hurry.
All right, let's hear it for Coach. Head Coach Raheem Morris, nice enough to hang out with us here on the first day of training camp live at Flowery Branch. Right off the bat, how do you like that? We start the show. Coach comes over and spends 15 minutes with us. We'll grab a quick break here and come back and tell you what's trending on the other side. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back live from Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Like I say, like, I try not to look, you know, that far down the line. But obviously, like, that's the goal for this team. You know, I know everybody says, like, win the division, which is, these are obvious goals that we want to do. But for us, like, it's more so if we just handle every single game the same and, prepare the same for every single game at a high level, then we're going to reach all of our goals. And we're going to get to everywhere we want to get to. And, you know, obviously everybody wants to win a Super Bowl. Like, that's everybody's saying that they're good now. Like, everybody's like, we have the best team now. But for us, it's like, you know, we got to put it to action. Like, we got to actually do it. You know, all the talk is, like, no more talk. Like, talk doesn't help anything. So for us, like, if we just actually just put our heads down and just work hard, we have the pieces, you know, that we need for a great successful team. But now it's time to come together and so we can do it that far down the line.
That's the voice of Bijan Robinson yesterday as the players arrived at training camp. We are broadcasting live from Flowery Branch today, right in front of the practice facility. Practice is over. Head coach Raheem Morris already stopped by and chatted with us. If you missed that, rewind it on the Odyssey app. It'll be up on the podcast really shortly as well. But yeah, Bijan's right. I mean, obviously he's got to sort of couch it with all the can't look too far ahead and goals, blah, blah, blah. Playoffs, period.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. Oh, no, this is a big year. We said it to start the show, Bunk. It's like the head coach, the front office, this is a big year for everybody. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, that guy's going to be here. The number 9 is going to be here.
Yeah.
Number 5 is going to be here. You know, we talked about the Bulldogs and all the young pass rushers, the Pearson, all those guys. Those guys are going to be here going forward. Now it's all about is somebody else going to be in charge of
who's
all
coaching
that?
Them?
Yeah. And so, exactly. Yeah, this is a very important season for everybody. And, you know, I think the most important thing is to get off to a fast start.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the worst thing you can ever do, and you know this, is playing from behind.
Yep.
Because because most of the time when you're playing from behind, you're doubling. You know what I'm saying? You're playing double when you're trying to catch up. If you get out to a good start, it all starts today. You know, the first day is always exciting when you get out here to fans and get to interact and all those different things. But eventually, it's go time. It's business time. And, you know, I know that I wish I had the quote, but I know I'm sure somebody asked me this morning in his presser about what's going to happen in the preseason and all those things.
Who?
Ray.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he's headed in there now to do it.
Yeah,
so somebody probably asked.
So I have no clue how that's going to go. But the most important thing now is, you know, continue to get better. Michael progressing every day. No serious injuries. And, I mean, that's a big – no serious injuries. But,
right.
Yeah, you got to continue to get better. And like Rob was talking about Michael, let his voice grow. Let his voice grow because you need Michael to be the leader of this team.
I also loved his answer about – what he needs to show, not just the fans, but the team and all of that. Because, like, the number one, like, real on-field concern that you might have from last season in that small sample size, completion percentage.
Yeah.
He completed 58% of his passes.
Not good enough.
I mean.
You can't win like that.
No. It was of the 50 quarterbacks that qualified last year for completion percentage stats, that was 50th.
Yes. You can't win like that.
You can't do that. Yeah. So, obviously, that has to improve. I think it obviously will.
Yeah.
You didn't get a chance to practice with any of those guys until the week that he made that start. So, I think that's one explanation for it. But it doesn't need to be any explanation for it.
No.
The completion percentage has to be higher. He's got to make his layups.
He's always been a pretty good completion percentage guy.
Never great, and especially because at UW, they just threw the ball downfield so much.
Right.
He was right around 65%, which is good. And if he's around there and they take a lot of deep shots, then you live with it because he throws the deep ball so accurately. And if they hit him, those are almost like in the NBA, you know how threes are like true shooting percentage is higher.
Right.
Like if you're hitting some of those deep balls, your true completion percentage, I'm sure they even have that stat. Maybe we just made up a stat.
I don't know.
That'd be pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, that's part of it. Like that's one part of the progression for him. The leadership, the voice, all of it. But then just the tangible part of it where, yeah, you just have to complete more passes,
yes.
keep drives going,
yes.
don't turn the football over, don't get off the field on third down, like keep it rolling. And look, it's day one of training camp. There's a lot of time to be working towards that. As far as we know, I do know that Darnell Mooney had to leave practice,
okay.
but it didn't seem like it was anything drastic.
Right.
Kyle Pitts was kind of off to the side doing his own stuff. I know, like you talked about Troy Anderson. I mean, that's going to be something that we keep a major eye on throughout the year.
Okay, because it was something we talked about all offseason, Buck, about you know guys that were like Kyle Pitts wasn't doing anything in offseason. And then Caleb McGarry, we had fun. He's back in Fife. Did I see where they were talking about like contractual stuff?
Well, I think people were just speculating.
Oh, okay.
I think people were speculating.
All right. I was like, know your worth.
Yeah, right. Well, no, we joked about this yeah. when during a mandatory minicamp yeah. when neither one of those guys was there. I was like, which one of those guys would be more yeah. out of line to be trying to strong arm for a new contract?
Yeah.
I think it was split. Yeah. But no, McGarry was here.
Okay, I know he was
out there. He took all the reps with the first team at right tackle. So
right.
if there was any, I don't know, whatever. That's just one of those. There was nothing else to talk about things. And Smoke and Joe Patrick kept damn tweeting about it.
Yeah,
every opportunity. He said yesterday, I didn't see any videos of him showing up. I was like, well,
God.
Yeah, they're only going to show the videos of the super. He's a right tackle.
So like, we got Joe and Prime.
They had the videos of Bijan. They had the video of Kyle Pitts
right.
doing his little step. They had the video of Penix. They're not posted a video of Caleb McGarry showing up to training camp.
No.
He's just out there.
Yeah.
All right? And he is. So we're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Nothing to worry about. I know that there was an injury. Earlier at Jets camp with Justin Fields goes down. Just saw the report. Aaron Glenn said somebody stepped on his toe.
Okay.
And so, I mean, they stepped on his toe. They have not decided whether they're going to get an MRI. That was 50 minutes ago.
Okay, so that sounds like great news.
Yes. I understand that was when the report came out, the first thing everybody concluded was, down here in Atlanta and all. Phone ringing and everything like that, but I don't want to see Justin Fields go down.
I wasn't going there until there was a report on his injury.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of was, you got to be kidding.
Yes.
Like, because you heard carted off, right?
Yes.
Like, Justin Fields got carted off. You think to yourself, no way. Like, the guy finally gets an opportunity to be the starter, and maybe it's a better situation. I don't know. The Jets are the Jets, so it probably isn't. But at least he was going to get an opportunity to be the starter
right.
and show what he could do. And you just hate for that to be cut short. It's hopefully sounds like it won't be.
Yeah.
And my other thought was, well, guys get carted off a lot now.
They do.
You know, they cart off. They
my,
cart off.
Ow.
They cart off for more
my
than they
ear.
Used to cart off
my
with.
Ear. Oh, go so, get the cart.
Yeah. So, and that's what I was hoping. I was like, hopefully this is just like extreme. Extreme card off and not like a real one. So anyway, sounds like it probably was, so that's good. All right, what else were we going to – hang on, sorry, I got a little sidetracked with what
Andy.
I was going to play next. Go ahead.
16. I mean, 16 non-wins in his last start, Verlander.
Oh, yo, you're going to do it? Why are you,
yeah,
why,
just, let's,
why are you
let's
doing
do it so we ain't got to talk about it no more.
No, I was going to – oh, all right.
Yeah, let's do it right
now. I was just not going to talk about it at all.
Let's do it so we ain't got to talk about it no more. Yeah, let's do it so
okay,
we ain't got to talk about
just
it no more.
Just so we're – you did this,
yes,
not me.
I did.
Yeah, Verlander gets his first win of the year.
Okay, there we go. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, we can move on.
Fair enough. Here's
right.
Adam Schefter talking about the Falcons giving the Bucks a run for their money in the division.
The Falcons?
Yeah.
I mean,
say it like
what the hell?
Should be challenging for the NFC South title right now. And so, to me, there's no reason they couldn't get that done. But you know, the Bucks have won what, 4 straight NFC South titles,
right?
And so, I think you have to make them a favorite, but. There's no reason the Falcons shouldn't be competing. The Falcons could have and should have won the division last year and didn't
they
do it.
They beat them
right.
both
yeah.
times
right?
they played them.
So they're going to feel like they're better with the pass rushers they drafted. And if that's the case, then they'll give Tampa a run for their money.
How many of those 4 in a row did the Falcons give away? 2?
Certainly last year.
Definitely last year.
The first 2, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
And then the third one, Ritter was the quarterback.
Yeah.
So I had the 1. They gave 1
but,
away.
I mean, I think that, you know, the thing with the Bucks, they're still a good football. They're a really good coach.
Yeah.
They got a lot of the same players back. We understand that.
They should be just as good.
Baker has been just progressing every single year, which has been outstanding to watch because I'm a big Baker Mayfield fan. But, I mean, the Falcons are just as good. Like you said, they beat them both times last year. And, you know, they just find a way to whittle it away. You know, and gave it away because of all the bad play down the stretch. But, yeah, it should be a two-horse race. I think Carolina's going to be improved. I don't know what the hell's gonna happen in New Orleans. I don't. I don't know. No. I don't know what's gonna happen down there.
Seems like a lost year for them already.
Yeah. But I do think
you never know. But
you never know. And I guess we were talking to Ra earlier about, you know, I know there's a, it's a big question mark because Michael is young. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But my biggest question mark is going to be on the defense. And
yeah.
I know he talked about the guys who are here and all those different things. And right, so those are some good players. But I'm talking about the guys that we don't know about. I'm talking about the Rook. I'm talking about all those guys up front. That's why I was trying to specifically get to the defensive line, the front seven part
of
the defense.
Yeah,
you know,
I should have asked that question better because I think we consider Rook and Dorless and Trice and these guys, especially Dorless and Trice, to be rookies. Like, they have not played an NFL snap yet.
Yes.
I know Rook played, but not a lot, and missed a lot of time last year. So we kind of think of, if Penix is a rookie, then Rook's a rookie, right? Like, pretty much.
Yes.
So much of that front seven, and obviously, he mentioned the guys that they drafted in the secondary that are supposed to be contributors too.
Yep.
But so much of that front seven is new guys and young guys. I wrote a question that I was going to ask him, and I didn't get a chance to get there. And I didn't even know how to ask it because I didn't know how to classify the front seven to get to the question. Like, what would you – how would you even talk about them? The front seven is young,
You know what, Andy? I wouldn't even go the front seven. I would go the front.
The front, okay.
I would go to – my biggest question would be the front. Because Kate Nels could play.
Yeah.
Kate Nels could play. We've seen Diablo. Diablo can play.
Yeah.
We know Troy can play when he's healthy.
Right.
What do we know
about – those guys aren't – well, and they're not young.
But what do we know about those guys up front? Those guys that are going to keep – those guys off of those guys, mm-hmm. you know, and who those guys who are going to get the quarterback.
Almost nothing.
Yes.
We know almost nothing about him. We got to this at the end of the show yesterday, though, and I kind of liked it. Was unproven, but like, okay, the last couple years the guys were proven, but they proved that they weren't good.
Yep.
Like, the front wasn't good.
Yep.
So maybe unproven's better.
Yeah.
You know? They haven't proven what they are yet. The other guys proved what they were, and it wasn't very good. All right, we'll come back. We'll get back into a couple different Falcons conversations. We did have Coach Raheem Morris on with us to start the show, so we'll react to some of what he had to say as we broadcast live from Flowery Branch. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We will be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here live. Falcons training camp day number one in Flowery Branch. Just awesome to get back out here and see all the fans. Last year was just weird, man. It was weird not having any fans out here.
It was cooler.
Now it was nice.
Yeah.
Part of it was nice because we were broadcasting from the air-conditioned Ticketmaster Studios. We are back out in the parking lot, but man, we've got a chance to interact with so many people already.
Yeah.
Let me give this long list of shout-outs real quick because a lot of them are probably back in their cars by now. Shout out to Gene, Jack, Reggie, Grant, Derek, Dustin, and his daughter Olivia.
Yes.
Carolyn. Jeff, and many others whose names I probably, unfortunately, didn't write down. But shout out to everybody who stopped by and said what's up.
But Reggie is so crazy. Reggie Ball.
That's right.
Quarterback for Georgia Tech. Yeah. I was like, I know
Let me not bury the lead on that one. That was Reggie Ball.
I said, I know this guy.
Yeah.
I've been knowing Reggie forever. Reggie, when I tell you, Reggie has the funniest dad. Because Reggie's junior, so we call his dad Dutch. Dutch is the funniest human being I've ever been
around. Right.
Like Dutch, because he's a trainer and everything. So we used to train with him in the offseason whenever I would come up to Atlanta for like a week or so. I go over to the gym. And I mean, I can't count the times that I almost dropped the damn weight on my face. Because Dutch is the funniest dude.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Ever meet your life,
that's
man.
Great.
But yeah, it was so good to see Reggie. And also all the other interactors. How you doing, man? That will come by, stop by. Obviously today there'll be some tomorrow. I mean, I'm sorry, next week. We're back Monday?
Tuesday.
We're back Tuesday?
Tuesday and Thursday next week.
Okay.
And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the week after that, and the week after that.
I was right.
Fine. Yeah, totally fine.
Okay.
A tech engine light went off.
Oh, did
I mentioned it yesterday, right? And then a couple of listeners were like, just unscrew the gas cap and screw it back on. Maybe you didn't get it on there tight enough.
Right.
And I was like, that's probably it. Because, you know, the Honda Element's built to ride.
But that's
It's built to ride.
I know it is.
And it worked. It worked.
Because
we're good to go.
On the old car, on the previous truck, that just always was my issue, was the gas cap. Because I was like, what the hell is going on? I was thinking to the diagnostic and everything. They were like, bruh.
Well, so I went and bought a little diagnostic thing. Because you go get a diagnostic from our auto shop, and it's $115. Or you can buy a diagnostic reader for $60.
Or you can go to AutoZone for free.
Oh, they'll do it for free. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, I just bought one at AutoZone.
I go to AutoZone.
But I'm going to take it back.
I go to AutoZone for free.
I'm going to take it back. Yeah, I don't really need that thing. The element's fine. Just every once in a while, just kind of give you a scare to remind you that it loves you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
I do remember because when I went to the reason that the gas cap was on loose was because I got distracted at the end of getting gas last time because a listener came and said, what's up?
Okay.
I was at the QT on the way to work one day last week and I was closing the thing and the guy said Andy, and I turned around and I didn't screw my gas cap
there
in.
There you go.
It was listeners that helped me fix it and listeners that caused the problem.
There we go.
So thank you.
We know they know all. They know all.
That's true.
We know
enough people out there that where there is an expert on something.
Yes.
No matter what it is that you're talking about, there's an expert on it. Let's get back to a little bit of what we talked about with Coach Raheem Morris earlier in the show. He joined us right off the bat. I mean, we're here to start training camp. He was like, let me go sit down with those guys.
Yeah.
It's the only way to start camp. We'll let you hear the whole interview again in the 1 o'clock hour. But here he is talking about all the young guys and how much they need from him.
I would say all the guys we drafted, for sure. You know, and there's always some guys that can definitely come out there and shock you. You know, Billy Bowman, and when you're talking about White, talking about some of the productive, like whatever you want to call them, secondary players, when you're talking about stars, when you're talking about, you know, in the back end at the safety position, those guys have been big-time contributors in college football and getting the ball back. And that's something that we got to improve in our defense as well as our pass rush. I hope we address that within the first two rounds. And this even started last year. We're talking about the guys we just mentioned in the Trice and the Brooks and the Doris. Right. Like, those are the things that you want to get going. You know, obviously adding a veteran like Flo really helps you with some of that presence that you lost from a guy like Grady, a guy that's been able to go out here, another Georgia Bulldog, a guy that's been able to get up, have a lot of production in this league, won a Super Bowl with this young man. He comes in here, he brings a certain tempo to practice, he brings a certain tempo to the game, he brings a different edge. I think all of those things are really important when you talk about bonding these guys together on defense.
We're just talking off the air. They're like the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah.
A lot of freshmen, sophomores, first-time player, all that stuff.
Raheem
man.
Even referred to somebody's rookie year as their freshman year when we were talking to him.
Yeah, man.
You're right. They are the Atlanta Falcons. The 2025 Atlanta Falcons are like a college football prototype of what to expect this year, where if they're going to be good, they have to get – like, not just like, oh, yeah, maybe that guy can contribute. Like, they have to get high-level production from guys who have never done it in the NFL before.
It's amazing, Buck.
And they're
all on one side of the ball, pretty much.
Well, and the quarterback.
And the quarterback, which is the most important
thing. Yeah.
which is the most important thing. Yeah, but I mean, they're a young football team. And, you know, it's all about, you know, getting them ready. Because it ain't – like, it's one of the things where we talk about, you know, as rookies you want to – sometimes you want to ease these rookies in.
Can't.
Because they're your depth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're your depth. And you look up and talk about on the defensive line. I mean, first of all, let's go to quarterback. No, he's got to produce.
Yeah.
He got to produce for you to win. Yeah, he's going to have rookie mistakes. But not all rookies are created the same.
That's
because
right.
Because Jaden Daniels was good as a rookie.
That's right.
C.J. Stroud was good as a rookie.
Not all rookies are created the same, and not all rookie situations are created
because
the same.
Because this was a different one. People,
very different.
You know, what are all the lines? You know, right there, if this young man doesn't produce. Defensively, I mean, yeah, you got guys, and it's natural to be a pass rusher, but you're still a never finished. You're a never finished product until you kind of go in the Hall of Fame. You know, you're never finished product when you're talking about pass rush. You can always learn something. But, yeah, these guys have got to get it going. It does help to have a veteran like Leonard in that room with all that group of young players because, I mean, you got him, you got Arnold Ebikadi, you got a bunch of young dudes back there in that depth, and you're going to need – Trice, who I'm excited to see. Then, you got Pearson, then you got Jalen. So, I mean, that's your room right there, along with two veterans, a big vet and almost big vet, talking about Arnold. So, that's your group right there. I mean, I would say, is that the youngest, position on the team?
It's got to be.
Got to be, right?
Yeah, it's got to be. And, you know, just like anything, there's probably multiple ways to look at that. People will look at that and say, well, I mean, that's a concern. They're unproven. You know,
yeah.
You're asking a lot from guys who the best case scenario historically, even the best pass rushers, their first year, aren't getting a ton. Best guys, even the best guys, 5'6" is pretty good as a rookie. And you're asking that from a handful of different guys. Now, if they all get 5 or 6, then you could probably live with that. Flip side of that, and said this in the first segment, kind of echo this throughout all of training camp probably, is, well, they had a lot of guys who they knew what they were the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about a bad pass rush the whole time. So maybe an unknown is helpful because the known was really bad.
I got the list of rookie Javon Curse, the freak. I had the most ever. He had 14 and a half as a rookie.
14 and a half?
I remember this monster.
That's insane.
I remember this. Aldis Smith had 14. Micah Parsons had 13.
All right.
I played against Dwight, 13. Yes. Reggie White had 13. Simeon had 12 and a half.
Okay, so these are all –
Bradley Chubb had 12.
Either Hall of Fame or – okay, so that maybe not. But, like, Hall of Fame caliber guys if they would have played healthy careers or something like that.
Suggs, 12. Peppers, 12.
Okay.
Mod really had a little bit. So,
okay. So in order to get double-digit sacks your rookie year,
you got to be one of these
guys. Have to also go to Canton at the end of it, which would be great. Like, sign me up. If James Pierce ends up as a gold jacket guy, then home run, right? I mean, if Jalen Walker ends up in Canton, home run. But I think that's, you know – early to be talking about that.
I should have looked that up. I should have looked that up. So, yeah, I should look that up. But
no, that's good. No. I think that validates the point entirely. Right?
Right.
It's like, to ask that much from these guys at that age is asking them to be Reggie White.
Yeah. Pep had 12 in 12 games.
Wow, he got hurt.
Yes,
but again, that guy is different.
Human, and he has a gold jacket.
He does.
He has a gold jacket.
He's got a bust in.
Yeah. But I mean, think about it is when you look down this is 10 and a half. Like you could get Leonard Floyd's gonna get you 8. At least.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
That's what he does. He travels the world and gets sacks. That's what he told us.
Yes, he did. So, yeah, he's going to get you 8.
Uh-huh.
Now, you got to get the other guy. You got to get somebody else to get 10. Mm-hmm. You get somebody else. But, I mean, that's going to be – but the biggest guy that needs to be that dude is Rook. Rook's got to – Andy, he's got to play great. Mm-hmm. He can't play good. He can't be inconsistent because, one, the talent depth ain't where it needs to be in the interior. I guarantee you they're going to add a player in the interior defensive line after training camp. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt in my mind they're going to add another body there because they don't have – and, again, I don't know the full depth chart as far as the D-tackle, but it ain't good.
Yeah, I can tell you if you want.
Come here.
Hang on. I thought I had the – dang it. I got the SMU depth chart up. What are we doing?
Well, they got over there, man. You know, I'm thinking about going around spreading some decades around this year, man.
It seems like that would be a good bet, them getting back to the college football playoff.
Yeah.
I love their quarterback.
Yes.
Just
he loves himself,
had
too.
A really nice,
he loves him some
really
him.
Nice outfit at Media Day.
Yeah, he loves him some him.
Oh, so you want a D-tackle depth.
Yes.
All right. So, obviously, David Onyemata.
Okay.
Zach Harrison, sort of.
Okay.
Sort of, but wait, sort of.
We've been waiting on him.
Yeah. Rook.
Okay.
Kentavious Street.
Okay.
Brandon Dorlus.
Okay.
Taquan Graham still around.
Okay.
You know. And then we're kind of getting Morgan Fox.
Yeah.
We're kind of getting
like, these
down.
Dudes have got to play – like they have not played already. Meaning, they done. We seen them play, Andy. Mm-hmm. We seen the sample size. Like Grady should have. If those dudes were where they need to be at, Grady wouldn't have to play all the damn plays that he played.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those guys were here multiple years behind Grady. And so, can you figure out a way to get them up to speed and get them into a position where they got to play above and beyond themselves of what they've done so far since they've been in the league?
I was trying to find, because obviously the last handful of years, the Falcons team numbers in terms of sacks have just been like abysmal.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy. I mean, any 5 year, 10 year, 15, 20, you can go back as far as you want. The Falcons are the worst organization in football as far as getting to the quarterback. Now, there was a moment post bye week last year where they started getting to the quarterback a bit more. It kind of tailed off at the end of the season. It wasn't resulting in much defensively.
Right.
They still were a bottom five defense in the NFL, but at least they were having a little bit more success getting to the quarterback.
Now that was, Andy, when Caden Ellis,
exactly.
Caden Ellis was getting involved more in the rush.
Exactly. They changed some things in the bye week, and I think Rob probably took over a little bit more of the defense, and that was probably when everybody knew Jimmy Lake wasn't going to be back and all that kind of stuff. They had 31 sacks last year. Middle of the pack in terms of sack numbers last year was right around 41.
Okay.
So they find a way to get 10 more. You can get more than that if you want. The leader in the NFL last year was 63. That was the Broncos. The Ravens had 54, and the Cowboys had 52. I think it's reasonable to ask this this pass rush to get 10 more sacks than they had last year.
I agree with that.
When they were second to last in the NFL.
You got two freaking first-round pick edges.
Two first-round picks and a guy that you spent the high.
Yes.
What was Trice? Third round?
Yes.
Okay, so a third-round draft pick last year. And then you signed Leonard Floyd, right? And you got Arnold Ebiketie in a contract year. Like, there's all these ingredients that should lead to more production at that position.
Agree.
That's what has to happen. It just has to.
Yeah, I mean, you got – I mean, that was what you went out and made it emphasis to do, was bolster this pass rush. They knew it. Teams knew it. I mean, on the draft, you know, that's all you heard about was the Falcons – putting an emphasis on rushing the pass.
We were trying to speak it into existence.
Yes.
All the draft experts we had on were like, look, we're just asking you about pass rushers.
Yeah, but,
all right? We're not asking you about anything else. Don't tell me about a tight end.
But we've been here.
Well, that's why we had to do that.
Yeah.
Because we've
been here.
We thought we might have been lying to ourselves.
And then here comes damn Bijan Robinson.
Yep.
You know, which you don't regret because, dude is special as hell, man. He's a special player. And I think the biggest thing with him is his continued development. I mean, the dude – he worked from year one to year two so hard on the other things that make a back great in this league.
Yep.
We know he can run the damn football, but him catching, and like Ross said, his protecting of the quarterback was, I mean, from rookie to second year, it was night and freaking day.
His protecting of the quarterback and his protecting of the football.
Yes.
Didn't fumble anymore and was really good in pass protection. I mean, he's lighting guys up last year.
I mean, I'm going to get you before you get me.
And I mean, that's a thing you really have to be, you know, you got to really work hard at improving that part of your game. Interested to see what he adds to the game this year and what that looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm very excited for Bijan Robinson in 2025. I think Bijan Robinson has a special season right around the corner. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle, get you caught up on everything that's going on in the league today as training camp is underway across the NFL. Scary news regarding Justin Fields. Sounds like it's not as bad as originally thought, so we'll get you updated on that. Everything else in hour number two right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, live from Flowery Branch. Falcons training camp, day number one. Practice in the books.
Yep.
They're off the field. It's cool to get out here and see all the fans, obviously. Shout out to everybody that stopped by. Cool to go over there and just kind of watch the guys practice a little bit, too. You know, Penix slinging it all over. Obviously, Kirk Cousins back up getting the second team reps. He was out there, too. No big injuries or anything like that to talk about on day one, which is good, and hopefully that continues to be the case throughout all of camp.
Yes.
But, yeah, man, just fun to be back out here. It's like, in terms of, like, excitement shows, like exciting shows,
right.
I put this one in, like, top five of the year.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it, man. I think it's more or less for me just to get to meet listeners. I mean, I sit out in this damn heat. I'm cool on that. But, I mean, I think just be, you know me, anytime we don't have to go into Kia Studios, I'm cool. You know what I mean? But I love the Kia Studios.
Sure.
But I love being out and about, meeting fans and everything like that. And then you always get the sense when you're driving up here. I know when you get off the exit off 985, it's like, oh, yeah. You know, it's that time, you know. And so we're fortunate enough to be able to come out here and sit out here and broadcast live as me and you are doing right now. But, yeah, it's fun when football season starts because of the optimism. I know I have a lot of fun, but the optimism that you have as far as your team can win the Super Bowl. But I just love it. I tell you, I say it all the time. I love me some damn Falcon fans. I love them so much. And, you know, for them to be out here, because they were out here today, man. Like I said, that parking lot was complete. I can't imagine how it's going to be this weekend. It's going to be stupid crazy this weekend over here, and rightfully so, man. Be excited about your football team, and hopefully they give you something to be excited about.
Yeah. Be optimistic until you don't have to be anymore.
Yeah, but we're looking at the building because the weight room is love it. Love it.
It does look very nice.
Looks really, really nice in here.
Yeah, this whole wing is new.
Yeah, so Mr. Blank put that bread in.
Because, you know, they got like a mediocre grade a couple years ago in terms of facilities.
It's amazing.
And some owners are like, tough blank.
You know what I mean?
We're going to move the team to Missouri. Other owners are like, all right, what do you need? Yep. What do you want me to do? I need a better weight room.
Arthur Blank is a what you need.
Yeah.
He is definitely a what you need.
Just to give a little lay of the land, I know not everybody's ever been out here before, but if you have been, where we normally broadcast from, we're really close to there, but literally if we were broadcasting from our normal spot, we would be in the middle of the weight room.
Yeah.
The place that's that crazy, they built the weight room in that parking lot that was there.
Damn,
is,
that's great. Hold on. Because I always judge it by the parking lot where we're sitting by.
We would be,
it will be right there.
Right? Like right where those I don't even know what do you got over there? Like some sort of rack or something. Anyway, whatever
some
it is.
Some kind of rack.
Some kind of weight rack. Some kind of rack for getting strong. But the cool thing is you look into it, they've got those big garage doors that open up onto the practice field. That's always awesome.
Yes, it is.
That's such a cool
thing. So convenient,
thing. Too. Yeah, you just go right out there. I always love a bar that has stuff like that, too.
Yes, yes.
That's a pipe dream. To have like a garage or something, or like a backyard bar that opens up to like a patio pool kind of situation.
There you go.
We'll get there.
You'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. We stay number one long enough, Randy. Get that garage door opening up to a pool.
You're damn right we will.
Yeah, I'll have everybody over. All right, the noon hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Let's get to an NFL no huddle. All right, before we get back into some of what the national folks have had to say about the Falcons, the big story of the day was Justin Fields carted off the field at Jets training camp. You had said that you saw sort of a follow-up to that maybe was a little bit better than initially reported.
Let me pull it up real quick, Bob, because they were saying basically he got his foot stepped on.
Right.
And if you get your foot stepped on by a lineman, it hurts.
Yeah, those guys weigh 300 pounds and they have cleats on.
It hurts a lot, man. And so I know I'm sure they're going to go with the MRIs and the X-rays and everything like that. But I don't know. It could be whatever. But until you get the diagnosis, we know he got his toe stepped on.
Right.
And it's on his right foot. And that is the
right hand. That still could be a broken toe.
It could be anything. You know what I mean?
And that could be bad.
And so we'll wait to hear the initial report. But that's what Aaron Glenn said. That somebody stepped on his toe and they don't have any as far as what is the diagnosis of what's going on with him.
I mean, again, when you hear lower leg injury in modern sports, your mind immediately goes two places.
First thing I thought, brother.
You go Achilles and you go ACL. And the fact that it's neither of those things – seemingly, is good. And like we said.
Because he doesn't know the severity of it.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't know the severity of it. This is about an hour ago. Said he is undergoing x-rays on the toe separate in practice today.
Any new information we get on that, we will pass along as soon as possible. The Eagles aren't going to refer to themselves as defending champions.
Because they're not defending anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always think that champions of the Super Bowl should be called reigning champions.
Yes.
Because they're the current Super Bowl champions. They're the reigning champions.
Boxers defend champions.
Right. Yes. That happened.
Yes.
Like that team won a Super Bowl. This is a same team, but different team.
You remember Kirby told him?
I know.
I
always loved it when he said that.
Yeah.
That they're not defending
that. They're defending that.
That championship is theirs forever.
Yeah.
They're currently the reigning champions, but the 2024-2025 Eagles will always be Super Bowl champions.
But every damn team says that.
Do they?
Yeah, a lot of people say it. I'm talking about players, the players on the teams. Okay. Like, we're not defending.
I just like it. I like that mentality.
Yeah, I like
because then you can be like, you know, I don't know, you sort of spin it as a motivational thing or something like that. Anyway, that's what they're calling themselves. Let's hear Adam Schefter talk about Michael Penix.
Well, I think he's got a chance to be a great quarterback. You know, if you watched him last year, you couldn't not be encouraged by what he showed. Big time talent. You know, you got to see more of it this year. But that was such a great quarterback class. And we'll see more of that quarterback class with J.J. McCarthy. But I think if you watched him, like the vibes on him, the talk on him, people have been around. I think everybody's really excited about it. You could see why Atlanta drafted him. And now you have to go out and, you know, get it done on the field. But I think people are pretty excited about him.
I am.
Yeah. I mean, the kid is super talented.
Excited is probably the first word.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, because, you know, you see the ability that this young man has to throw the football. I mean, this dude can spin it. It's always different when it's a lefty, but I mean, it gets there just as fast as a righty. And, but yeah, I mean, the patience part about it, you got to be patient, but at the same time, being patient because he's a young quarterback, he's still got to damn produce because of where your team is. And I'm talking about the coaching staff, the front office, everybody that's in this building right now that wasn't on that football field practicing, everybody, all those people right there are feeling the pressure. And this young man, he has a lot on his damn shoulders, Andy.
He has so much on his shoulders.
Yes, he does.
That's why excited is the first word, and then nervous is probably the second word.
Right.
Because I just want it so badly for him.
I understand.
I want it so badly for Falcons fans and the team and all that kind of stuff. And then you just, you know, you see what it is when it doesn't go like that.
Right.
Like, the doesn't matter who you are. Like, everything that gets said in July and August immediately gets forgotten in September and October if it doesn't go well.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Even if it goes well in September and October, it immediately gets forgotten in November and December if it doesn't go well. And I just want it to go well. I think that it will. I'm optimistic that it will, too. That's another word that I would use for it. But, you know, it's just the closer we get to it and the more people talk about it, the more it feels like the hype is really, really high for a kid that has not been a starter in the NFL.
Yeah, but it has to be. You know what I mean? What else you got? I mean, I know you understand you got somebody behind him who's won and played a high level in his league. If you see Kirk Cousins, that's not good. Just like what we said last year before the season. If you see Michael Penix, stuff ain't going good.
It's one of two things, obviously.
Yes. If you see Kirk, I mean, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Same damn thing. If we see Kirk Cousins this year.
And for Kirk, it was both things.
Yeah.
He was hurt and played
bad. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing about it. I mean, if you see him, it's a disaster. Something went wrong.
Yeah.
Either, or some could go good. You're blowing somebody out, but you wouldn't put Kirk in no blowout game.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I guess we did see Penix at the end of a couple of bad losses before he was actually the starter. We can skip the Steve Wyche one. I want to talk just a little bit about what's going on with the Bengals and Joe Burrow specifically. Here's Joe Burrow talking about camp getting underway.
Yeah, obviously disappointing. You know, you'd like to have all your guys out there day one to try to build that cohesion that I was talking about earlier, but it's not how it usually works out. You know, it's a business, and that is how it's gone.
You can that's a dude that's tired of that.
You can tell in his tone he tired.
Yeah.
You can tell in his tone that he's getting frustrated because he don't want to be asked about these questions every year about the same thing as far as contracts and teammates getting paid and everything like that. He just, to me, when I heard that clip, he sounds tired.
Which, of course.
Yeah, because
of course he is. He should be.
You know what this dude wants to do? He wants to go play football. You know what he wants to do? He wants to make sure that this team isn't off to an 0-2 start 3 years in a row.
Yeah, because the frustrating thing is if they don't get it done with the first-round draft pick and with Hendrickson, like, they're going to be the same team they were last year. The offense was great. Joe Burrow, especially in the second half of the year, put up MVP-caliber numbers.
Because he had to. He even told you,
but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter because they were the worst defense in the NFL. Like, they averaged 30 points in losses.
Yes.
Like, that's how bad that defense was.
And I saw this. I think they're the first team to average as many points they've averaged or scored as many 40-point games as they got in history to not go to the playoffs.
And not go to the playoffs.
Yes.
Right. So it just kind of feels like it's shaping up similarly if they don't get it done with those guys. And that's a shame because then 2 years wasted of, like, genuine, like Hall of Fame type.
Yes.
You talk about Ja'Marr Chase, you talk about Joe Burrow, and the type of things that they're doing there. And it's like, I don't know, man. I mean, again, every franchise has their own demons and their own issues, but that one is just that they have a cheap ass owner.
Dude.
And it really sucks.
Carson Palmer was in the prime of his freaking career and left because he didn't want to play for you.
Yeah.
Joe, in my opinion, has that type of, hey, man, I don't know about you because I can't see Joe leaving Ja'Marr and all those dudes.
Right.
But
he just got that contract, so, like,
but
you know,
getting,
that might be
but
a –
but he's about fed up with him, though.
But to sound like that already?
That sounds like you fed the blank up.
Because, you know, if we're still doing this in 2 or 3 years, exactly. Then it's like, well, file the papers, and then I'll go play for the Raiders or something like Carson Palmer did.
Yeah,
what else? George Pickens said, definitely excited to run better plays with the Cowboys.
That's such a George Pickens answer.
Yeah, it is. Help himself.
Yeah, that's such a George Pickens answer.
A little shot at Arthur Smith there.
That's a George Pickens answer right there, man. Yeah, man, I just want to run some better plays.
All right.
Yeah, damn, that's such a George Pickens. I like they own one because I saw CeeDee Lamb tell him, I am one of the best receivers in the league. Everybody's going to see that. I don't like to brag. I'm not braggadocious or that, but I am one of the best players in the league. I'm going to put everybody on notice.
That's such a wide receiver.
But I don't talk trash, though.
It's not even a humble. It's a brag. Like, it's hilarious to say I don't mean to brag and then brag.
Yes.
That's like when you say with all due respect and then totally disrespect somebody.
Yeah, that's exactly
with all due respect, you are really ugly.
Yeah.
Like, you're just.
Yeah, man.
No, that's disrespectful. Like, you can't just say with all due respect and then have carte blanche to get away with anything.
Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? You ain't cute to me. You know what I mean?
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
It always has been. That's why you shouldn't be in someone. You should not, and I do a bad job, but you should not paint with a broad, ugly brush. You know what I mean?
It's just ugly to you.
He's ugly to me.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah. Could be beautiful to somebody else.
Yeah, man.
There's a lot of people into, like, lazy eyes and stuff.
Hey.
I used to be.
I had a partner that was into them. Damn sure did. He like, hey, he this is that exactly what he told me. He like, this dude, he said, I like him seeing him left. I like them seeing left and hairy. Yeah. I was like, huh? Yeah, I like
the,
you know.
What the hell's wrong with this guy?
Dude, he's
nothing.
Boy.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Beauty in.
Hey, lack of hair.
Beauty's in the lazy eye of the beholder.
Hey, now look at her leg. See that? It's like.
It's a wild dude.
Yeah. I see her damn hair.
All right. We're going to come back and
get some big.
Stop talking about that. We're going to come back and talk about ACC Big Ten Media Days. Dukes of Bell had Haynes King on the show yesterday. I know Brent Key spoke with the media as well. We'll get into some of that after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy, broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. Falcons training camp, day number one in the books. Hour number two for us, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll get into a couple different college football conversations just a minute. Let you hear from Haynes King, quarterback of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. We'll get to a back page with Bo coming up at 12:40. Back into the big story of the day at 1.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. I wonder if he heard me because he listened to the show.
Oh, well, you didn't say his name. You didn't say his name.
He just sent me a crying emoji. Yeah, man, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. She had to have hair, not on her head. He said she had astigmatism.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I said. All right, you know, already it's just stigmatism. I was like, all right, wait, when she wear glasses, you straighten out. I was like, you know what, dog?
I think I told you this before. I'll say it again. I'm not ashamed of my past.
You should not be.
I used to date a girl that when she got tired, her right eye would drift.
Yeah, man. It's like, so if you were like,
time to go.
So if you lay, if you're laying on her right hand side, you can see eye to eye too.
Uh huh. She didn't have to roll over. That was just always a good indicator when it was time to go home from the bar.
Right.
It was like, oh, she's looking at everybody.
How about this?
I don't get on out of here.
All that talking got Eli Drinkwitz a contract extension.
Oh.
Yeah, good for him.
Could have been that. Could have been the 23 wins over the last 2 years.
Yeah, could have been anything. Could have been anything.
Could have been anything.
His ass will be fired.
Yeah, no, we talked about him a couple years ago when we were at SEC Media Days about, hey, like, you know, who's on the hot seat? This guy certainly needs to start winning.
Yep.
And he did.
Yeah.
You win double-digit games 2 years in a row, get a contract extension.
Yeah.
Seems simple to me.
It's crazy.
He didn't even have to extort him to pretend he was going to go to some other job.
Because he wasn't getting another job.
Well, you know, probably not. But I don't know. He's done a fine job.
But, I mean, he's dead to me,
I don't really
too.
Care one way or the other about Eli Drinkwitz, but he's done a fine job.
If he's dead to Ashley Davis, he's dead to me.
Oh, yeah. No, she still wants him fired.
If Ashley don't like him, I don't like him.
You leave App State.
Yeah.
No matter what the circumstances are. Yeah. You're dead.
Yeah, but I think ACC Media Day is still going on. I think today's Dabo's Day.
Okay, and that'll everything. Be good.
I think Bill's out there, Bell's like, because this will be like his first, because I don't think they had a big press conference for him when he, this may be like local, but this is going to be the big media. So does Bill Belichick mumble through like old Bill, or does he give you some insight? So curious to see that.
I think he's probably more insightful.
Yeah.
I think you kind of have to be like that as the head of a program, right?
Yeah.
In the NFL, you know. Guys come or they don't. You draft them, you pay them, whatever. College, you got to impress them, right?
Yeah, got to impress them.
Yeah.
You know Bill don't give a damn. Bill got 6 damn Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
What do you think Bill cares about?
Well, I know, but, you know, but Bill's acting different, though.
I mean, just because Bill always been in them young shouters now.
Has he?
Yeah, Bill always been in the young shouters now. Come on now.
I didn't know that.
He hung around Robert too long. Yeah. They like them young shouters. So.
Well, Robert likes paying them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, to each his own. You got it. You know what I mean? You got it.
If you got it, don't get caught.
That's the biggest
thing. You know what I mean?
No.
Don't be going to $150.
No. If you got it, don't pull up to the $150 in a damn Rolls Royce.
In a Rolls Royce.
And get out the back.
Right. Like, it's a confusing level of got it.
Yes.
Like, you have a Rolls Royce and a driver.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Got it. Go to the strip mall rub and tug. Don't got it.
Don't got it.
What are we doing?
Like,
you know what I mean?
You see that rolling up? You see?
I can't say that.
Yeah,
my
you can.
Bad.
But I would go talk through it. But you can't just be out there all willy nilly.
Yeah, I don't know what Bill's gonna do. Yeah. I don't know. You know what I mean? The Bill Belichick UNC storyline in general is to me even though it's interesting, it's still there's so much other stuff in college because it's just, you know, they're not going to be great this year, right? Like no. they might be okay, they might be better, and certainly he's a great coach, but I don't know. Like you got to see him play a few games and sort of see if there's any impact at all
right.
as far as that
right.
goes. It would be silly to me if he goes up there and does the old shtick of being like hard to talk to and all that, but do whatever you want, Bill. You're your own man.
Yeah, Bill.
Haynes King was on with Duke Sabel yesterday, not mumbling, talking about what type of quarterback he is.
I mean, that's what the strength and conditioning coach is for, you know, put more muscle mass on to do that and to prepare your body for stuff like that. But also, you know, we've been talking, and sometimes I do need to know when to slide, when not to, take care of my body, certain hits on certain shoulders, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to do what's needed to win.
Yep. I tell you, he's a Texas boy.
Uh-huh.
And I know, great job yesterday by Duke Sabel because I got a chance to listen to this interview because I was out and about. But I think that his health is one of the most important things because of how vital he is to what they do because he's a dual threat quarterback. And what was his name we looked up yesterday, the other quarterback?
Philo. Yeah,
Philo's a nice replacement, but he ain't Haynes, in my opinion. And I think that, you know, his biggest thing, like he was talking about, knowing when to slow down because he don't slide. He goes in there head first, shoulder first, and all those different things. And eventually it's going to catch up with you, and it did last year.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going head first looking for contact, it's got to be at the goal line against Clemson.
Yes.
Or at the goal line against Georgia. Or trying to pick up a fourth down in the fourth quarter, a first down in the fourth quarter in a big game like that. You know, second quarter against some of those non-conference schools where he's wanted to hit people,
yes.
you know, and play the style of football that he plays, which is great and is a big part of why people love him. You just got to kind of – you got to pick your spots a little bit,
yeah.
you know, if you're going to be – and he is such a huge part of a team that has a chance to be really good this year. Like, if he plays up to the potential that he has and they win some games, and I think that they will this year, like, he's got a chance to be in the Heisman conversation
yeah.
at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really good player, Andy. Like I said, he's going to put up rushing and passing
yeah.
yards. He's a red zone, weapon. You remember
he's going to score a ton of touchdowns.
You remember the Syracuse game when Syracuse was running away with yeah. it, he breaks out the backside. I mean, the guy can take it. They just had some nice runs against Georgia, hard to bring down. I think, you know, but his biggest thing, they got to help him around him. They got to get better defense, but they got to pressure the quarterback a little more. But they got the right mentality because they got the right coach.
Yep.
They got the right mentality, they got the right coach. And we talked about it yesterday. I think they're going to go up there and bludgeon Colorado. I think they're going to just beat Colorado ass up there.
It wouldn't surprise yes. me. I'm glad that's yes. exactly where I wanted to go was – who's going to play quarterback for Colorado? I know they brought both of them to media days.
I don't know.
I didn't realize. I knew that he was going there. I had the Juju Lewis kid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a senior in high school.
Yes.
And he might start?
I don't know.
That seems – I mean, I know he's great,
yeah.
and I know he's going to be the number one player in this class and all that, but, like, you know, Cooper Flagg did that in basketball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You reclassify and start as a – that's not even a true freshman. Like,
no.
what's that? What would you even call that?
Yeah.
Like – That's a lot to ask of he'll be 17.
Yeah.
That's a lot to ask of a 17-year-old kid.
But I mean, that's why he did it. He wanted to get ahead and all those things. Him and his family.
That's probably part of why.
That dude was making so much money.
Yeah,
at
right
high school.
I'm sure he's doing fine now too.
Yeah, but I think the thing with it is I don't know, and I'm sure Prime don't know who's going to start. But that's why you know, you talk about it all the time. That's why there's no depth chart. I don't know who's going to start. Let me bring both of y'all. Because
right.
you know that.
Smart move.
If you took one and be like, oh, man, they can start quarterback, man, or something like that. But, you know, I don't know. But I think Georgia Tech goes up there and runs them.
Yeah, right. I don't think it matters
yeah.
either way. Caden Salter is the other guy, transfer. Played a lot of college football,
yeah.
so at least he would be – experienced
yes.
in that role. I was listening to College Game Day podcast this morning, and they were talking about that. I didn't realize that Julian Lewis was like legitimately in
yeah.
the running
no,
to
he's
be a starting baby. Quarterback
yeah.
as a in a Power Five school
yeah.
As a guy who is supposed to be a senior in high
yeah,
school
but
right now.
And sometimes
that ever happened before?
I don't think so.
Right?
And with how today's ball is and these kids reclassifying already, I don't know.
Like, it might happen in the future.
It might happen in the future.
But I'm just saying, like, that would be really something. Like,
yeah.
that would really be a story if a kid who – it doesn't even happen that much in basketball. Right. Like the Cooper Flagg part of it was pretty remarkable that he ends up being as good as he was and going number one as a guy that was supposed to be a senior in high school. We understand basketball and football are different in terms of physicality.
Yeah.
Man, that's a
My thing is like, are we sure he's going to start? Or is it
no, I don't.
One of the
I don't.
Where, you know,
I'm
you
just
know,
saying if he does, that's crazy.
I don't want him to leave. So
right.
Oh yeah, they can seem like it.
I would imagine though, like at some point, even if he doesn't start game one,
oh, he's
like
start.
He'll start eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that's one of those situations where it feels like probably a couple different quarterbacks play. There's a few schools where it's like that. Like there's a lot of good programs that are going to be relying on really young quarterback play this year in college football, and there's some history of young quarterbacks having big success.
Yeah.
But
oh,
not,
no,
a lot.
Not a lot.
But not a lot.
I agree with you. But, I mean, nowadays you're looking at – and it started with Jameson, like these young – Lamar, Johnny Manziel.
Yep.
These young quarterbacks are coming in, and they are balling and winning damn Heisman. So, I mean, most of them – all of them were redshirt or second year.
All those guys were redshirts.
They were all redshirts.
The most successful true freshmen that we've seen over the – I mean, there may be some back in the day that I don't know about, but in the last – you know, like this era, Trevor Lawrence, that went pretty good.
Yes.
And Jake Fromm. Fromm had a really good true freshman year at Georgia.
I'm pretty sure there's some more out there, and they'll let us know in a second.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a couple, but not like, you know, playoff championship caliber. Like, there's true freshmen that play.
Jake Fromm went to the national championship.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know the team around him and everything,
Like, Ohio State might start Julian Sain, who's a big prospect, but again, you know.
Like, Michigan got the number one quarterback, the boy out of Detroit.
I didn't realize that Michigan had Haynes Ron Haynes. Not Ron Haynes.
Oh, yeah, Justice.
Justice Haynes.
Yeah, Justice Haynes.
I didn't realize Justice Haynes went to Michigan.
Yeah.
He's going to get the ball a lot.
Hell, yeah. They're going to run it as much as they want to run the ball.
And they have a good young quarterback, but their quarterback situation is shaky.
They got no more quarterback in the country.
Freshman. Right, another freshman, you know?
It's going
to
be crazy.
Which seems like a good idea to give the ball to
Veron.
To him.
Yeah.
To Justice Haynes.
They're going to be good as hell defensively, though.
We'll come back and get to the back page with Bo after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on Trillville Thursday, 20 minutes away from getting back into the big story of the day. Noon hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll get to the back page with Bo in just a minute. We will let you hear our conversation with Falcons head coach Raheem Morris as we're broadcasting live from day one of Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch today. He stopped by and joined. He was on with us to start the show. It was Andy,
man.
Randy, and Raheem to start the show in the first segment. So we'll let you hear that conversation coming up at 1:20 if you missed it.
I was about to get on with – looks like Kyle Pitts had a big day today. A lot of people were talking about, Michael Penix was getting involved early on in the practice and everything, something that he also mentioned they want to do a lot more. And it's something we mentioned leading up to this. I was like, try to get him involved early. You know, but that shouldn't be the case. And you said, Raheem, we're going to play the interview, and you asked a question to him. And basically what he's saying is it's a lot on him.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you got to help him and put him in positions to make plays. But a lot of it's just on him.
Is there a player on the Falcons team with more – individual pressure on them this year? I don't think so either.
Maybe the quarterback.
Yeah, but even if I'm with you because it is the quarterback and all that. But, even if Penix doesn't play amazingly, he's the quarterback next year. Pitts,
correct.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much unknown with his future.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is that he's looking good. I've read a lot of comments, looking fast, looking fresh.
Good.
I mean, we know he's an athletic freak.
Yeah.
You know, he's an athletic freak. So, I mean, you know me. You know I'm a big fan of Kyle's because I think he has the ability to be great. I just want him to go out there and do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think even the people that are the most critical of Kyle Pitts want that, right?
Like,
everybody just wants him
to
ball.
I would hope so.
You know what I mean?
I would hope so.
But, yeah, the only thing is, you know, we've talked about that before, right? Like, Kyle Pitts looking awesome in July isn't new.
Nope.
Kyle Pitts coming in great shape and all that stuff, like, which you should. I'm excited to see it, and I hope it translates. I think quarterback play will help.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It definitely will.
I think that's been a part of the story with his career that doesn't get talked about all that much. But, yeah, I think quarterback play will help.
Yeah, we had a capable quarterback with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, 1,000 years.
He was playing well with Kurt.
Yeah, in the part of the year last year where Kurt actually played well, Kyle Pitts played really well, too. Now, it was a short period of time, and then it kind of all went away, and by the end of the year, Kyle wasn't on the field all that much. But, yeah, I think everybody – I hope everybody's rooting for him to do well. All right, let's get to the back page with Bo. Brought to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their three locations or shop online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Solomon Brothers. Hello, Bo.
Now, y'all know that I'm not a big conspiracy theory person, and I don't believe in jinxes. But they do say that they come in threes. First, Malcolm Jamal Warner. Ozzy Osbourne yesterday. Now Hulk Hogan has a massive heart attack this morning and passes away at the age of 71.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of threes. I think he is the most popular wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I got to say about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
You know me just not being like the biggest wrestling fan of all time. I know him, obviously. Like, he's one of those ones that transcended wrestling and all that for sure. And such like a
– he's larger than life.
Such a figure of childhood, you know? Like, larger. There was wasn't there like a cartoon, and there was the Hulkamaniac song.
It was larger than life.
There was cereal and all that kind of stuff.
He was larger than life when I was a kid, and then I grew up.
Right. Yeah. And the last few years haven't been probably. Yeah. But, yeah, rest in peace to Hulk Hogan for sure.
Yeah, I mean, WWE probably is not as big as it is today without what Hulk Hogan did in the 80s.
I agree.
And then he is probably the author of the biggest heel turn of all time with his in 1996 move and creation of the NWO. So Hulk Hogan dead at 71. I'll tell you who's not dead. Another 70 wrestler in their 70s. 76-year-old Ric Flair shared news yesterday morning that he has beaten skin cancer.
Way to go.
Ric Flair keeps outliving people, man.
I'm telling you what, man.
Hey, Bo.
You would have lost a lot of bets.
Hey, Bo, you remember yesterday we were talking about Ozzy, like, he got an extra 25 years from God. Rick got another 40.
Bro,
Rick
at least.
I mean, you think about when he first started. Rick was in a damn plane crash. He broke his damn back.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And then had the health scare. I mean, this dude done had more health scares than anybody I've ever seen in my life and still lives hard as hell.
Talk about walking the walk and talking the talk. He is the living epitome of that.
Yes.
What was his signature move? Did he have one?
The figure four leg lock.
He's just putting Grim Reaper in the figure four leg lock every chance he gets.
Dude, it's amazing this dude's still around there, bro.
It really is.
Because he goes hard.
Hard.
Still.
Hard. It's such a testament, too, to like just how every person and every body is different.
Yes.
Like, most people, if you put your body through what he's put his body through, would have been dead 20 years ago. Like, you hear oh, yeah, uncle whatever died. Yeah, well, he was an alcoholic forever. Yeah. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, not Rick. He's just out there hanging out.
Living life. Limousine
riding. Beating this, beating that.
Jet flying. Kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, son of a gun. Woo!
It's also a testament to what the human body can endure.
Yes. And I'm having a hard time holding these gators down.
Speaking of holding these gators down, so look, man, I guess the last thing anybody wants to do is make Cam Newton mad. Everybody wants to talk trash about Cam. The most notably recently is Ryan Clark. And Cam's about sick and tired of it.
That we want to attack the messenger, Ryan Clark. Okay, let's pull up your stats. Second team, all SEC. We cannot relate. Undrafted in 2002. We cannot relate. Then you have one Pro Bowl in 2011. We cannot relate. So if you want to unlock Petty Cam and everything that Cam Newton has ever said on this 4th and 1 show has always been backed by merit and logic, but some way, shape, form, people keep attacking Cam, the person, or why he didn't jump on the fumble, why he didn't do this, or comparing and contrasting. So when I compare and contrast you guys' statistics and Dan Orlovsky, never mind. But as we keep going and we keep unlocking and keep poking the bear, and y'all want to play this game.
There we go. Don't poke the bear that is Cam Newton, I guess.
He's absolutely correct. Like, he gave an opinion. And then Ryan and everybody attacked Cam personally.
What did Ryan say?
He left his Superman cape at home during the Super Bowl and all that crap. Like, that's uncalled.
It's always the fumble.
If you don't like his analysis of Jalen Hurts, I think he's wrong.
Yeah, I disagree with what he said about Jalen Hurts.
But it's okay to disagree.
Yeah.
But they take shots, and everybody does that to Cam. And I guess I saw Gilly, Gilly doing – like, it's a sports take. Disagree with it.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts What do I say? Jalen Hurts don't need y'all to come to his defense. Mm-mm. This man just won a damn Super Bowl. But for people to act like Cam wasn't the guy, and you watch this man win at every level he's played at, man, go kick rocks.
Yeah, you know, that part of it doesn't make any sense to me.
It don't make no sense to me.
I don't know how you could possibly get from I disagree with his opinion to he wasn't this or that. Like, Cam Newton at his peak was one of the most fun players to watch in the league and won a ton of games with talent in college and in the NFL with talent around him.
But my only thing is, I'm like, this damn podcast era, bruh.
I just don't understand.
I don't understand why they got to keep going at each other, back and forth.
I just don't understand. Like, you and I have a pretty easy time being like, oh, I just don't agree with that.
It. Yes.
And then we'll just not talk about it.
Right.
Like, all right, Cam Newton doesn't think Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback. Well, I think that's ridiculous. But, all right. You know what I mean?
Why can't we say aye? why can't it just be aye? I disagree.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is to not care what people think.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, again, Cam Newton's opinion on football is always valid to a certain extent because of his history in football. But you could also – the other thing, too, is like Ryan Clark's opinion on football is not invalid because he didn't get drafted.
No, it's not.
Ryan Clark's a great broadcaster. Yes. I think tends to do a really good job with his analysis.
And he was a good damn football player.
Yeah,
Cam was a quarterback, but Ryan was a damn good player.
Sure. I know that is always the hard part when it goes from, like, we disagree about this thing to now let's talk about who was a better – it's like, well, that's not really the point.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the people that are talking about it didn't even play football.
Yeah.
So it's not even really the – anyway. Here we are.
So, speaking of kicking rocks, y'all remember Tyreek Hill at the end of the 2024 season with his I'm out, deuces comment. Then he says his relationship with Tua is a work in progress. Well, here's Tua early in training camp talking about Tyreek.
When you say something like that, you don't just come back from that with, hey, my bad. You know, you got to work that relationship up. You got to build everything up again, and it's still a work in progress, not just for me, but for everybody. But, you know, like I said, he's working on himself. He's working on the things that he says he wants to get better with and do better on. So that's the first step to me, and so I commend him for doing that.
It's all about relationship building.
It is.
I like that Tua was honest about
it. I did too.
Because a lot of times you just brush it off.
I'm curious, was he asked or did he bring it up? I'm pretty sure it's my action.
Yeah, well, he probably was asked.
Yeah, he answered and everything like that. But, I mean, we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but we didn't have the audio to it. But he's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
He is. You quit on your damn teammates.
Yeah.
And everybody saw it.
Doesn't it feel, and I know we've talked about this a couple times throughout the summer, but, like, you know, more stuff keeps bringing it up. Doesn't it feel like there's a real chance for disaster in Miami this year?
Yes.
Like 3-14 type stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Tyreek Hill's the best player on that football team.
He is.
And it seems like it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, it's a shame because I really like Tua, and I really like that coach. Obviously, you have a love for the Dolphins for obvious reasons. But, like, yeah, man, I don't know. It just feels like things are kind of stacking up to maybe go real wrong in Miami.
Randy, when you were in training camp, did they have a bagged milk?
What?
Milk in a bag.
No.
No?
Why would they?
So I don't know why they have it, but they do definitely have it, or at least they have it at Buffalo Bills training camp. And Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman was given a bag, not necessarily a box of milk, but a bag. And, man, it's so hard to eat milk and cookies with a bag of milk.
Yeah, you got to open it first, and then you got to pour it. I mean, I don't want to cut it up here because then they're going to spill. So what you supposed to do, cut it down there?
Yeah. I don't know.
Is the object not to pour all the milk out the bag into the cart? And then what, you will squeeze it out? So how you supposed to dip the milk in the cookies? But ain't this a cup? That's too, y'all wasting too many dishes. So we're washing this then. Now you can't even get this out of here. So now you got an open thing for no reason.
So they give Keon Coleman a cup, like a measuring cup, with a bag of milk in it. And, yeah, man, wasting too many dishes.
Yeah, I think he's right. Like, who needed 100%. An extra step in milk?
Yeah, man, that young man there is funny.
He's very funny.
He's very, very funny. Now, Bo, when I was in high school, they gave us, like, the milk pouches, the one that looked like the silicone breast implant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, it's very similar to that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you just poke a straw in it. You
just can't dip cookies in a bag of milk.
Yeah, you can't dip cookies in
that.
Yeah, you'd have to put it in a cup to do it.
That is true.
I'm trying to think of the things I drank out of a bag.
Not a big cookie and milk guy, though. Yeah.
Wine. I drank wine. Because in a box wine, it's in a bag in there. And then when you finish it, you pull the bag out, you blow it up.
What's that? Oh, my God. Where am I? I'm thinking about something.
Or a flotation device.
Where people, it's like an orange soda that people put the straw in. And they put it in the bag. They do it in the Philippines.
Okay.
They put it in the bag.
Well, do you
consider, do it somewhere else, too.
Do you consider like a Capri Sun a bag?
I don't.
That's a pouch.
A pouch. Yeah, okay, that's a pouch. Because we there's a lot of those in my house. Too many, I would say.
Isn't a pouch a small bag?
Too many.
Banned.
You banned them?
Hell yeah.
Would you just say no more?
Hell yeah. You know why? Because them little straw things.
Yeah, the straw.
The straw pack, plastic. Yeah,
the plastic thing.
Yes.
They're everywhere.
Banned.
God, and they stick to stuff.
Banned.
Yeah, God, I hate those things.
Yes.
Banned. I'm with you. So what do you guys do now? Just get a big jug of juice?
Better get some water.
Yeah. Okay. I know your kids are drinking juice as we speak.
They drink water. Uh-huh. Unless Donna make it for them. I ain't gonna
worry. Well, do you guys do the frozen tubes? Remember those of juice? You'd get like the frozen thing, and then you'd mix water with it to have a thing of juice. You didn't have the frozen juice?
No.
That must be a Pacific Northwest thing.
We had Kool-Aid.
But you guys didn't get like a little tube of frozen concentrate, and then you'd mix it with water.
I had
and make
powdered
juice?
Milk growing up.
Hell yeah, that potted milk, a carnation milk.
I didn't know that was a regional thing. Yeah, it was like a little chunk of ice, but it was orange flavored.
And it was just juice concentrate that you add water to?
Yeah, then you mix it in with water, and then you'd have orange juice.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.